house of the Lord. Appreciate Brother Ray. Appreciate Gateway hosting this meeting and what they've done for us all down through the years. Appreciate that so much. Thank God for Brother Stewart, Brother Tingen, just these men on the board, and our missionaries. Amen. And I'll tell you what, I really, last night, God really spoke to my heart, and I thank him for the good preaching. And that was a challenge, buddy, I tell you what. And I want to tell you something, I don't have what he's preaching about last night. I want some of that. And but a burden, and I never have had that. I've never been in a place, I'm just being honest, I've never been in a place where I said I'd want to go to hell, somebody else get saved. And that's a far above, that's light years beyond where I've been. And I want y'all to pray for me. And I was thinking about that burden, the pause. That's an unusual burden. Amen. Very unusual. Yeah, you don't see that. And then I thought about this, it's unnatural. That had to be God. He said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts with the Holy Ghost. And the burden that burden he's talking about there. And he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, it's real. And that had to be given him of God. That was God loving through him. Amen. And you pray for me. I wanna have more of that. Looking in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And Brother Gary asked me to talk today about how to start a long time ago. He said, I want you to talk about how to start a faith promise program. And then we went to teaching principles of stewardship. Amen. And so we're just going to cover a little bit of it all together here and try to this morning. Hope we can be a blessing to you and say something to be a help to you. And you're looking in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we'll use this today just as a place to get started and talk to you a little bit about this. And I want to say one more thing before we start. And we do this every year. We talk about that handbook and everything. But listen, it's important that we work together here. These men, they have other things to do. They're busy. And they give their time. Nobody's ever give me a dime. I don't want a dime. These men, we travel in and we try to help. And we ask, we got a few guidelines and we ask people to go by them. And there's a purpose behind those guidelines. And I want to tell you why most fellas change churches, I think. Now, they may not be wrong, but somebody has to prove me wrong. The reason people change churches and won't notify the mission board is probably they've not got a good reason to change a church. And they know if they call in and talk to them, that somebody's going to call their hand on why they're leaving. And listen, you don't supposed to change church because you get mad at your preacher. That's good stuff right there. Do you know that? And get mad and run off and go somewhere else. We deal with that stuff all the time. It's not good. Amen. It's certainly not good in a preacher or a missionary. And a lot of times things just need to be worked out in the right way. And things be reconciled and the work of God can go on better if we do it God's way. It's not God's will for us to have fallen out and forget about it and part ways. And that's not, I don't read that. No, things are supposed to be fixed. Am I right, preacher? Amen. I just want to say that. That's not my subject today, but I want to say that. Amen. All right, teaching the principle of stewardship. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, more, brethren, we do you the will of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, having a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he had also finished in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for letting us gather today in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for these missionaries today. Thank you, Lord, for these men of God that's gathered here. Surely, God, today we've gathered, Lord, because we want to serve you and we want to live for you. And God, we want to bring honor and glory into your name. I pray you bless this board. And God, bless these men. Bless this school this week. And oh, God, please put your hand on it, Lord. And do what only you can do. God, we need you. I need you today, Lord. I need you. I can help somebody. God, help me to be a blessing. Help me to be a help. Father, just have your way today. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to look today at some things about faith promise or about stewardship in general. We're looking at teaching the principles of stewardship. And if I understand what my job is today, is talk about when you get on the field and you get a church started, how you to teach that church the principles of stewardship as taught in the Bible. And it's important that we do that. Let me go back. I was years ago, my first mission trip that I took, we went to Mexico, and there were two churches there that stood out in my mind. And I guess God used that situation there to help me about better than anything. There was a church that my church had supported ever since my church had started. And there was this work, a missionary that was there. We went and visited him and visited that work. And that work was struggling. And it was struggling to exist. It was 20-some years old. And the missionary told us, he said, I'm trying to teach them stewardship. And he said, I told them last Sunday, he said, I told them, if you make 10 pesos, one of them belongs to God. And he said, they believe that because they're poor, that they don't have to tithe, they don't have to give. And they struggle with that. And he said, I'm trying to teach them that even though they're poor, that it's necessary that they tithe and they be good stewards. So I said, I told them if they make 10 pesos, one of them belongs to God. We left there, went on to visit another work, now not too far away. And it was in a city. There was a little bit of difference in the area, but still Mexico. And in a very, very weak economy during this time. This is before NAFTA. And we went into this place, and here's a church, has a full-time pastor. They supported 20-some missionaries. They gave more to missions than my church did back in the United States. That's right. And one of my deacons with me, he looked and said, Preacher, he said, we can beat what we're doing, can't we? And I said, I believe we can. And the difference was, as 20-some years ago, both of them started about the same time. The difference is, it wasn't one of them had been taught stewardship and the other hadn't. And boy, I tell you what, God really got a hold of me. And even though my people tithed and gave and stuff, I really come home with a desire to teach stewardship as a Bible teaches stewardship. And so I want to say this morning, I really believe. Now, some people have an ideal, I think. Now, listen, I'm going to give you my opinion on a lot of stuff here this morning, okay? But a lot of people have an ideal, well, you can't do on the field what you do at home, or because it is a poor area or whatever, I've got to first go in there and do this and this, and then later on I'll teach them stewardship or I'll teach them faith promise. And I'm going to tell you, if I were a missionary, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I would go in, and just as soon as I started anything, I'd start teaching them tithing, and I'd start teaching them faith promise from day one. That's what I'd do. Let me tell you something. Faith promise will finance your church. If you get a hold of it like God, like it's laid out in the Scripture, it don't cost you. It helps you. I promise you that. And But I would go in, just case the Bible. I'd go in, and I would teach them missions and faith promise from the very beginning. I thought about this on teaching the principles of stewardship. Let me break this into three things today. First of all, I'd practice it. I teach by example. And then number two, I present it. I teach them what it is. And number three, I promote it. And we're looking at three things right there just for a little bit. First of all, I'd practice it. Teach by example. Now, when you go into a place and it's awkward sometimes talking about money, I understand that. I really do. But I believe it'd be easier on a missionary than it would be a pastor. Amen. You know what I do? I preach, God's helped me and let me, and I go around and preach missions meetings, and the Lord's let me preach at several of them and start a lot of missions programs and stuff. And I'll go around and I've taught stewardship, and I've told people all over the country, be good to your pastor. Take care of your pastor. God will bless you, taking care of the man of God. We believe that, don't we? It's the Bible. We understand that. But I'll tell you what I've never done. I've never looked at my church and said, do that. I don't have a bit of problem going and I'll tell my people they need to tithe, but I'm not going to get them to tell my people, now you need to do this for me or you need to do that. I never have done that. And God's took care of me. And so what are you saying? Well, I understand you go into a place and you start a work and you're conscious about what they think. If you start talking about money, that they may think you're there to get their money or whatnot. But in reality, if you're doing this thing right, you're not receiving any of that. And you ought to be it's not hard for me to come to Gateway and preach and say, be good to that man of God right there. But I wouldn't want to do that in my church because I'm the man of God there. You see what I'm saying? But when you go to the mission field and you can teach stewardship, and if you're doing it right and it's an indigenous church, hey, you ain't getting any of it to start with. So you ought to be able to go in there without any pressure at all from that and say, look here, we're going to do it. And what I would do, I'd go in and say, this is what I do. I tithe to my church back home. And by the way, you need to tithe to your church back home. A fella told me the other day, he said, this missionary, and he told me who it was. He's not our board, but he said, this pastor's having problems. He got this missionary, and he said, what's the matter? And he said, they gave to him, his church, they did all this stuff for him. They helped him move. They gave him money. They really helped him a lot. And the fella has went to the field and said he started tithing at his church. He's got started in the field, quit tithing to his church. And said he's telling his preacher that he needs to do that to set an example for them people. Well, it's bothering the preacher because the preacher's got this congregation now. It's not the money issue, but he's got this congregation that he encouraged to help that feller and help him and give to him and support him and help him get to the field. And that guy's got to the field and he's took thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off that church. And he's went to the field and he started tithing to this mission church. I got problems with that. I really do. That's not scriptural. He needs to give his tithe to his local church. Amen. And he needs to give his mission offering to his local church. And then he needs to go into that place and teach them, listen, you need to tithe to your church like I tithe to my church. You give your mission offering to your church like I give my mission offering to my church. Amen. And be very open. Listen, be very, very open with your ministry and especially with the money. Now listen, fellas, somebody may disagree with me, that's all right. But I'm going to tell you what I believe today. I believe that the pastor, I think he's accountable for what he does. And just because he's the under-shepherd, that don't mean that bank account's his to spend and do with as he pleases. Amen? And he's still the leader, but that money there, it's God's money, but that congregation decides what happens to that money. Now, if they want to authorize that pastor to spend this or do that, that's fine. But it's not his to spend. Amen? And we need to be very, very open with it. And they need to be able to see what's going on at any time. Any of my members are welcome to look at our books at any time. Open it up and see where anything's in. I don't sign any checks. I don't want to sign any checks. And I don't ever want to do that. Now, I can do about what I want. I'll admit that. I mean, I make a recommendation and they'll do it and everything like that. But hey, they know what I'm doing. And I'm not wanting to hide what I'm doing. And I'm careful. Can I go ahead and say this? Listen, I'm carrying a credit card in my pocket right now that my church gave me years ago. And they said, "Preacher, we don't want you to pay for anything. We want to take care of every expense." They said, "Everything. We want you, if I want to go, Brother Gary, if I want to go to Europe," now the reason, it's not going to be a money whether or not I can go, because my church has already told me I can go. I can go anywhere in the world anytime I want to, do whatever I want to. But listen, I'm saying that to say this, is I do not abuse that. I'm very careful with that. Amen. I'm responsible with that. And as long as I'm responsible and they know that I am and I don't abuse that and I'm careful with it, they don't have any problem with it. And I don't ever want them to have a problem. You understand? Listen, we need to be accountable. I'm talking about stewardship. Teach it by example. Be accountable to your church. And then whenever you get to the mission field, be accountable. This is what I do. I go and I say, now listen, this is why that we, God's work has to be financed through God's people. And God blesses us. I teach them God blesses us and we give of our increase and that the work of God can go on. And then I'd start receiving an offering and I'd start teaching them stewardship. And I know you couldn't start out with a missionary right off the bat, but you could start out praying for missionaries and start building something up to help somebody with. You go in, you're probably going to rent a building or you're going to have expenses. You got a work fund. And I know that, but I'll tell you, listen, by the way, we're not as dogmatic and hardcore as some people are on the indigenous principle, but we believe in the indigenous principle. Amen. And the church on the field needs to be taught to be self-supportive. And different, I understand different countries, different situations. It's different. And some will need help and others don't need as much help. And sometimes we'll have to supplement in some areas longer than we will in others. But it ought to be the goal. It ought to be the desire. Then you start a work on the field that this congregation is going to be self-supportive. They're going to be an autonomous work. They're going to be an indigenous work that when I'm gone, they won't need me. Or they won't need support. You ought to be, you ought to be the desire of a missionary, a church plant, I believe. Go in and start a church, and that church, whenever you leave, can operate on its own. That can't happen unless you teach them to be indigenous. But if you're teaching them to be indigenous, then you're not receiving any salary from them. Amen. It's all coming from home. You're sending church and the supporting churches. I've sent you into that place and they're fully supporting you. So you don't need any money off of these people that you're trying to reach. So you ought to be able to teach them to give your money here and their needs. There's going to be needs on a local level. There's going to be pews to buy probably, or there's going to be song books or whatever. And let them begin as quick as you can to start supporting their own work. Amen. Now let me tell you something. This is human nature, is the way this works. If people have invested themselves, they'll take better care. And you go into a place and build it for them and don't teach them stewardship and don't teach them to give, and then whenever you're gone, the work will be gone. You go build them a building. I've been into Mexico. Carlos, don't get mad at me. I've been several times. I ain't laid any block. I'll buy a few block, and I'm not above laying them. I get out there and lay them if I need to. I'll carry a block, but I won't see somebody else carrying them. I'm not gonna go build a work for somebody else, Brother Ray, and hand it over to them. And let them not, and they need to appreciate it. They need to be involved. They need to put some sweat in it. They need to give. They need to do what they can do. And then whenever you, if you help them, And what you've done is help them. And they've invested themselves. They'll take care of what they have. But you go in and do it all for them, and something happened that they don't like, or this or that, and they blow out and it's gone. It's all a waste. And that's not what's taught. I believe the Bible teaches the indigenous principle. And so we go in and you train them to give themselves. So I'd start taking, receiving an offering. Teach them what tithing is. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I'd practice it in front of them. I said, look, we're gonna receive an offering here, and this is what we're gonna do with it. I already plan out some things, whether that be spent on a local level. I said, we're gonna take a mission offering. And probably I'd pick me out some missionaries. You got some sitting right here. I'd pick me out some missionaries in different places in the world. And I'd bring them up for the church. And I said, look, let's pray about supporting this when we can. Right now we're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for this family right here. Take them on prayer support. Every one of them say they want your prayers more than your money anyhow, don't they? Well, let's go ahead and start praying for them. That don't cost anything. And you get your people praying for certain missionaries and certain mission works. And then when some money comes in, start supporting it. Start sending some. Amen. Get them involved. Get them involved in what to do. And so the first thing to do is practice this thing. Practice stewardship. Practice it yourself. And let me move on now. Sake of time here. We not only practice it, we need to present it. We need to teach them what it is in the Bible. Now, this is what I teach. I go around a lot of places, and I think this is important, and that is that there are three kinds of giving taught in the Bible. Three kinds. There's what I'll call three types. There's the tithe, and then there's a free will offering, and there's a faith promise. Now, I didn't understand that myself for years, but I come from a place where he wasn't taught to tithe. Matter of fact, I was taught that tithing was legalism. That was under the law, and you wasn't required to tithe in this day. You just need to feel good about what you've done. Amen. Every man has a purpose in heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. As long as you're cheerful, that's the main thing. You know, just enjoy it and everything. But anyhow, you need to teach. I think that there are three kinds of giving in the scripture. Now, and let me tell you something. If you get this established right here, you'll see it happen. I did a missions conference for a boy just the other day. And he's already, his mission offering went up, but his regular offerings went up. And he called my house yesterday and said, church gave him a big raise. And see, it all works together. It does. And when people see this thing, first of all, there's the tithe. Okay? And then there's the free will offering, the faith promise. Well, the tithe. What is a tithe? And the tithe's over in Leviticus 27. Go away right quickly. Leviticus 27. And we'll look right quickly here. Leviticus chapter 27. In verse number 30, and it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Okay? And then I like to use that, and then I like to go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. So you can prove who's the tithe belong to right here. According to the Bible, it belongs to God. And go to Deuteronomy chapter 26. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, I like to use this scripture right here because they were taught here what they were to do with their offering. And look in verse number 1. It shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring to thy land that the Lord thy God hath given thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shall go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And drop on down in verse 10 and says, and now behold, I brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. So they need to be taught that what they have comes from God. The Lord blesses us, And when God blesses us, we bring our offering and we worship because of God's goodness. And I'm going to tell you something, and we're not teaching this right here today, I know that. But if there's ever been a place in this world of people that ought to be able to shout during an offering, it ought to be the people in America. God has been good to us. God has blessed us so much. Our children have so much more than most of the children of this world. And listen, God's so good to us and blessed us so much. Hey, an offering time, we ought to be able to rejoice and praise God for His goodness. Amen. And that's what He says here. And come on down and he told them what to do with the tithe. Verse 13. Then I shall say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also given to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all thy commandments, which thou hast commanded me. And I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. And that ought to be pretty easy right there to take that and say, look here, I'm not your pastor, but I'm here starting this work. But you're going to have one someday, and when you have one, take care of him. That's what you're going to take this offering up for here, is to support this. You're going to have a preacher. And I'm supported from back home. And I don't need your support. But when I leave, you're going to call a pastor, and it's going to be your responsibility to take care of. Teach that to them. Let them know, hey, that man of God, that's somebody they need to take care of. And that's the first thing that was to be taken care of was the Levite. We did a budget one time in the church. I used to pastor. And they sat down. He's going to work up a budget. And I sat down with a couple of deacons and folk there. And they come down through. And last year, got the treasurer. I got the checkbook. And they went through all the expenses of the church, trying to figure out how much what a budget would be. And they come down and they listed everything. I didn't say anything. They listed everything right down to a fish fry they had. Brother Gary. I mean, every penny that was spent before they put down one penny to the man of God. I never said a word. I didn't say anything. But you know, that's how a lot of people think. How a lot of people think. They think, take care of everything else. But no, the tithe, the starts of taking care of the man of God. I don't know if you can afford that fish fry or not. You better take care of that preacher first, though. Amen. Amen. Right, so look here. It starts out with the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And it goes on to say this. You can do this with this scripture. I got to hurry. I got to go on here. This is what you can do. You bring that tithe in and say, all right, God, I've done what you said to do with it. Now, Lord, bless me. You can read it right here in this chapter. Lord, I have done what you said. Now, God, take care of me. And teach them people that they'll give. Listen, I believe this tonight, today. If you'll tithe a tenth of your increase and give a mission offering, I don't think you have to worry about starving to death. I believe God will take care of you. Amen. Amen. I know a fellow said one time he's preaching and he had this revival. He's booked and he went to his job, tried to get out, had a good job, and he needed to get off. And they said, you can't go. He said, I got to. He said, well, you can't take off. And so he said, you'll have to quit. So he quit his job, go preach that revival. Started down the road. He thought, my goodness, what have I done? I've quit my job. I've got my family. I've lost my insurance. I've lost everything. What in the world am I going to do? And he said, the Holy Ghost said, I'll try to think of something. Hey, listen, God will take care of us if we put him first. If we do right, amen. Amen. So they take care of the preacher here and take care of the stranger, the fatherless, the widow. And he said, you can say, I've done what you said according to all that's commanded me. Verse 15 or 14, the last part of verse 15. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel. See, there it is. So I teach them there's a tithe. And that tithe is to take care of the needs at the local level. Take care of the pastor. Take care of the church. Take care of the widows. Take care of the needs in the community. And you got to be careful. If you go to the mission field or you go anywhere else and you open up an account here and advertise it that we're going to give out and help everybody in the world, they're going to be lined up. And it's our job to scrutinize. We're to help people, but you got to be careful because there's a bunch of fellas out there that don't want to work and want you to come pay their power bill every month. That's right. And I'll tell you how I feel about that. I feel if my people give sacrificially and they give to missions and they're looking at me and they want me to help people in need. But we ain't going to keep up a bunch of bums out there. I think that's scriptural. Am I right, Brother Barker? Amen. Hey, listen, we're stewards. All right, let's move on here. There's a tithe, then there's a free will offering. There'll be times that there'll be special needs. You're going to have that Levite, you're going to have the widows, you're going to have these local needs all the time. But like whenever a building's to be built or a special need, when they need to build a tabernacle, they took up an offering, a free will offering. Not a tenth, a tithe is a tenth, but they took up a free will offering. And that free will offering was to take care of that special need. And it was every man a willing offering. And no certain percent. It's whatever you want to do. And I'm going to have to back up just right quickly because the way I've got my outlines and I'm going to run out of time. Let me talk to you. Let me go on. I'll come back in just a minute on the tithe just a little bit earlier. Some more on that. Go to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. I like to go over to Exodus chapter 35 and talk about this. Whenever they took this offering, and every man's a willing heart, and so, in verse Exodus 35 and 29, the children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring all manner of the work which the Lord commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. You go back to the first part of the chapter here, verse 5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is a willing heart, let him bring an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, and brass. This is free will offering. Okay, whatever God put on their heart. All right. And then this is to take care of the tabernacle. Now, the special need that's come up. In verse 5 of chapter 36, Moses had to stop them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave a commandment and caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary, so the people were restrained from bringing. For the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. What about that? Now here's the thing. You know why? Because like Brother Adar said there yesterday, what God orders, he'll pay for. All right? Where did they get all that gold and silver and all that stuff? When they were leaving Egypt, the Egyptians loaded them down, paid them to leave town. And God turned their heart, and God provided that for them, that they could give to the tabernacle more than what was needed. And so God will always provide and teach you people that there's a tithe, then there's sometimes he'll give a special offering. It's whatever God puts on their heart. What most stirred I've ever been in a meeting, an offering. I was in Mexico. I was down there, and the preacher said, we're starting a building program down in the church. We're going to start a building program. And said, we're going to receive our first offering tonight. So I want you to preach. So I got up and preached a little bit, you know. And so they started taking up their offering. This is Mexico. Here they come. They start putting their offering here. I saw them bring wedding bands and putting that offering that night. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. What touched my heart more than anything is here comes poor woman. She had a blender. It's used, no box, a blender. And she came over and set her down, buddy. And I thought they'd know 10 how hard she worked, how long she waited to get that thing. But she brought it to put in her church. I seen them throw the whole billfold in there. My goodness. Wedding bands. I never seen nothing like that in all my life. Hey, listen. We're talking about Mexico. You don't have to live in the United States to do something for God. Amen. But anyhow, they gave willingly here So this is the free will offering. And then there's a faith promise. Now here's the thing. You got to get this. Okay, you got the tithe. Explain to them about the tithe over here. What the tithe is for. All right. What it was to be used for. The Levite, the stranger, the fathers, the widow. Okay. The free will offering. You're gonna have these. But when you come to the New Testament, you got something else that you didn't have in the Old Testament. You've got a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You still got the Levite. You still got the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows. But you got a job now to reach the world with the gospel. And there's a plan God has to do that, and that's called faith promise. And that's what you find over here in Corinthians. That's how I introduce it. And you might want to get these right quickly. On the tithe, see, a lot of times in America where I've preached this, a lot of people kind of say, preacher, I want God to show me I need to do that faith promise, but I ain't been tithing. I'm going to start tithing first. I've had a lot of people tell me that. Well, what is a tithe? Here's some questions I asked my church a long time ago. Number one, does the tithe belong to God? Number two, if so, when does it become God's? Number three, what exactly is a tithe? Number four, who's to pay it? Number five, what it's to be used for? Number six, when, if ever, was it changed? See, a lot of people get in this law business and say, well, it's a different dispensation. But wait a minute. Tithing didn't begin, but the law is number five on the dispensations. And Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek before the law was ever begin. And Jacob promised God a tenth at Bethel before the law. And so tithing didn't begin with the law, and there's no scripture in here that says it ended with the law. But you got some scripture in here that deals with a faith promise mission offering that people take out of context because they don't know what it is and try to say, well, you don't tithe anymore. Every man's his purpose and his heart. But that's a mission offering. That's not the tithe. That's to send the gospel out. That's not to take care of the pastor with. You see, it's a lot. You've got to be able to rightly divide this. When was ever it changed? I ask this question. Can a man rob God today? Can God do more with $90 than I can do with $100? That's something to dwell on. Can one that took two fishes and five loaves of bread take $90 and go further than you can with $100? Some people can't afford to tithe. I believe they can. Number nine, why has God blessed me and put me in the position that I'm in? Why do I have what I have? Why has God given me more than what I need to exist? Maybe the Lord wants me to give that somebody else can hear the gospel and be saved. So I deal with the tithe, then the faith promise. The faith promise, and come over here to Corinthians, and I like to use it, and I'm gonna hurry because my time's running out here. You come over to Corinthians, and you have a scriptural precedent. I want you to just look at this and you'll be surprised how many Baptist preachers don't know what faith promise is. That's right. But here's what faith promise, listen, here's what happened. 2 Corinthians 8:9, Paul's giving the story. He goes into Macedonia, he goes into Corinth, and they receive an offering to be used at Jerusalem, another country. He goes over here, he receives this offering in Corinth, and God blesses them. They get excited and say, we're going to do this again. And say, if you'll come back a year from now, we're going to give so much. We don't know how much it was, but they made a commitment a year ahead of time. Well, he goes over into Macedonia and tells the Macedonians what the Corinthians over here said they're going to do. And the Macedonians get excited. And they get stirred up. And God opens up heaven over here in Macedonia. And they begin to give out of poverty. And God just blesses him. So he goes back over to Corinth. He writes to Corinth. He's coming back a year later, and he's writing. He said, I would you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches in Macedonia and how they're giving out of poverty and how they're giving beyond their power and they're praying it down. Listen, you can pray down more than you can work out. I learned that myself. Amen. But he said, they're over here giving out of poverty. And because we went over and told them what you're going to do, and they got stirred up, and your zeal hath provoked them. And they said, now we're coming to town with them, those Macedonians. Some of them coming with us. And if you don't do what you said you're going to do, we're going to be embarrassed, all that boasting we did. That's what them two chapters about. He said, go ahead and make up your bounty. Go ahead and take up the offering. Go ahead and receive this thing. Do what you said you was going to do a year ahead of time. And so that's the precedent that we have for faith promise in the Bible. It was an offering that was going to be used in another place. Amen. So It's pattern offering. It's personal, every man. It's planned offering as he hath purpose in his heart. It's persistence, so let him get. Boy, you got to teach this to him. If you start something in mission, stay with it. Don't take on a missionary that comes through when you don't know what you're doing and let him get to the field and drop him because you're not able to take care of him because you jumped in too quick or too hastily or something like that. And there he is in another country and got a family to feed and depending on your support because you took him on whenever you wasn't ready to. Pray about what you're going to do. Know what you're going to do. Amen. Listen, let me hurry on here. I'm going to say it's positive giving, cheerful giving, proven giving. And hey, this promise given. God has made some promises concerning faith promise. Let me give you this. I know my time's running out here. I want to say this about promoting faith promise. Keep them excited. Read them prayer letters. Make much over. Amen. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for them. If people's praying for something and it's constantly before them, they're praying about it, they don't have a problem giving to it. Amen. Pray for your missionaries. Magnify the good in your mission program. Something good, hey, how some people say something, get up and read about it, talk about it, say, thank God, look what happened here. Minimize the bad. Now, I'm not saying cover it up, but have more sense than to advertise for the devil. I mean, listen, so you got a problem here. Some preachers, they got a problem with a missionary, and that's all they want to talk about. Well, so, and old so-and-so, you know. And they drag up something happened 5 years ago and try to label everybody. And you know what that does in people's minds? It does label everybody. Amen. Listen, how many missionaries y'all support, Brother Ray? 83. All right, 83. Name me 83 preachers, no problems. Name me 83 churches, don't have any problems in them. Give me 83 deacons, 83 singing groups. You listening to me? What you gonna do, quit singing? Because as a singing group over yonder didn't do it, you're gonna quit singing? Why do this with missions? Why pick out a missionary that's something wrong and then want to quit giving to missions or quit having a mission program because, so, hey, listen, you got 83, I'm going to tell you something. You got 83 missionaries, you're going to have some problems. But you know what you do? You deal with them. You discreetly handle it. Now, I don't have to deal with a lot of mission problems because I'm very careful who to take on. I don't take on my buddies. You listen to me? I don't take on my buddies. And I supported Brother Allen back yonder. I didn't support him because he's a good friend of mine. I support him because God laid him on my heart. If God hadn't laid him on my heart, I'd never took him on. You got to pray about this thing and be in the will of God about it. And if you'll do that, if you'll be sensitive and you'll be led, then you won't have near as many problems. Because God knows a future, friend. Amen. And there's some good men that are good today. They're not going to be good men tomorrow. And you're going to have, there are going to be some problems. Hey, but let's be real about this thing. And we have a problem, let's just deal with it and go on. Sometimes you're going to have to drop a missionary. And then and you take on another and keep on going. Keep on doing something. Amen. Be led about what you do. Be careful about what you do. Honor God with it. And missions is the heart of God. God will bless. My time's up. God will bless. If you try to follow him and give to missions, teach your people, listen, this is the work of the Lord. And use the tithe like it's supposed to be used. Use a mission offering. Like I say, start out just praying for some or whatever. And then as you can, give to them and so forth. And God will bless you for doing that. Pretty weak here this morning. But if anytime I can help you with some notes or some books or whatever on faith promise or on giving, I'll be glad to help you any way that I can. God bless you, Brother Gary. You come help.